Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something really interesting submitted by a listener. It's a framework called Chakra Kund Dance. And it apparently promises a kind of shortcut to managing your energy better, especially during really intense, happy activities like dancing. It's described as a self-developed holistic technique.
Yeah, and it's definitely holistic. This isn't just, about learning some dance moves. It feels more like a whole philosophy.
A philosophy. How so?
Well, it pulls together ideas from Qigong, but then it ties them into our biology, the immune system, the nervous system, and it gets even deeper, proposing this unique link between movement, language, and even ancestral communication. It's quite a package.
Okay, wow. So the source material suggests this is all about getting the best out of yourself through movement. But what's the absolute core idea?
At its heart, it's about balance. Simple as that. Balancing the energy you push out, the movement, the expression, maybe the show-off aspect, with bringing a similar amount of energy in.
Right. So equal parts giving and receiving, energetically speaking.
Exactly. And the claim is, if you nail this balance, your joy lasts longer. And maybe more importantly, you recover much, much faster physically.
Okay, I'm intrigued. And then there's some specific mechanics mentioned, something about joints and glands.
Yeah, this is where it gets fascinating. The source talks about using 13 specific external joints, think kinesiology, to consciously connect with seven internal endocrine glands, which it maps onto the chakras.
13 joints, 7 glands, connecting them through dance.
Precisely. And then there's this idea of micro rests, taking these tiny breaks, focusing intensely. And the source claims that is the more creative work in the whole universe.
Oh, that's a huge claim for just resting for a moment. Okay, let's definitely unpack
Let's
this.
do it.
So, starting at the beginning, what is Chakra Kund? Is it complicated to learn?
Source actually calls it a very easy dance, but the technique itself sounds really flexible. You don't have to apply it just to dancing, any intense activity where you're exerting yourself.
Okay, and it borrows from Qigong, that ball of energy idea.
Yeah, exactly that. The concept of holding or moving a ball of energy between your hands, it takes that core idea.
Right, I've seen that.
But Chakra Kund applies it differently. It's not just external. It becomes an in and out dance that you channel through the seven chakras within your body.
An internal energy dance. And this solves a specific problem people have during intense joy.
It targets what the source calls too much external show off. Think about it, when you're really feeling it, dancing hard, you tend to just push energy outwards, right?
Totally. You're expressing, moving, giving it your all.
But if it's all outwards, with no inward balance, you hit your limit faster. The energy drains, the joy kind of fizzles out quicker, and then the recovery, well, it takes much longer. It's that classic boom and bust.
Ah, okay. So Chakra Kund is trying to smooth that out, make it more sustainable.
Exactly. It's about efficiency, longevity. You consciously focus on pulling a similar amount of energy inwards while you're pushing it out, achieving that equilibrium.
Like refueling while you're still driving.
That's a great analogy, yeah. And the cool thing, according to the source, is that because a lot of the focus is internal, you don't need to make huge, dramatic movements.
Oh, interesting. So it's adaptable.
Very. It could work for someone who's dancing nonstop and wants to keep going, but also for someone more introverted who wants to feel that energy deep inside without necessarily putting on a big external show.
Got it. Okay, so that's the internal technique. What about the environment? The source mentioned something specific, outer environment, free party. What's that about?
Yeah, the environment is important. And that free part needs a bit of clarification.
It's not just about not paying to get in.
No, not primarily. Although the source does say accessibility is a plus, the main point of free here is about emotional and expressive freedom.
Ah, freedom to be yourself.
Exactly. The source says the key free add-on is that everyone there could feel free to express and feel the more he/she wants along others there. It's about feeling uninhibited.
So the freer you feel in the space, the better Chakra Kund works. It allows that inner balance to happen more easily.
That seems to be the connection, yes. Feeling safe and free lets you manage your internal state more effectively.
Okay. And the source apparently makes a quick jump to politics here.
Oh, yeah, just briefly. It throws out this idea of applying the same free project, standard free tasks, free wages, to a political party structure.
Interesting tangent.
It is, but it sort of underlines the core principle. Freedom and autonomy, whether in dance or society, are seen as essential for optimal functioning.
But okay, let's pivot back from the external environment to what's happening inside the body.
Right, the internal management. And this is where the context of high-energy techno parties comes in. The source mentions drug use, too.
It does. And just to be clear, we're reporting impartially on what the source material claims regarding energy management in these environments.
Understood.
The author says they participate in this scene, but claims that by practicing chakra-kun and self-care, they find themselves using very little quantities of them and every time less. They present this as a result of better energy management.
Okay, so this leads into the idea of peaks and downs. Yeah, that a fundamental cycle. Any peak effort, whether it's from a substance or just the physical stress of intense dancing, needs a recovery period, a down phase.
Makes sense physiologically.
The problem, the source argues, is that people often resist that down phase. Mm. They can't bear the down, so they seek another peak immediately, another stimulant, whatever it is.
Which cuts recovery short.
Right. It messes up the natural cycle.
Right.
So the strategy suggested has a couple of layers. One is thinking about microdosing, not just drugs, but experiences too, aiming for maybe a newer and less demanding peak.
Okay.
But the real emphasis, the most important point, according to the source, is that internal focus we talked about, bringing energy inwards and then dedicating real attention to the recovery window, even if it's tiny.
And that's where micro rests come in. How are these supposed to work, especially in a loud place?
Okay, this is pretty wild. The idea is you take these very short breaks, but you consciously make them feel closer to a micro sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You focus intensely on relaxing deeply, right there in the middle of everything.
That sounds difficult, like meditating in a hurricane.
It does sound counterintuitive, but the logic presented is interesting. The body knows it only has, say, 60 seconds. If you pour all your focus into using those 60 seconds for rest, the body apparently kicks into a kind of hyper-efficient recovery mode because of that urgency.
Training yourself to achieve deep rest very quickly.
Yeah, but, and this is crucial, there's a big warning label.
Oh.
The author is very clear. Don't abuse this. Your body still needs proper extended rest. If you constantly rely only on micro rests, the resting bill you'll pay down the line will be much higher. It's a tool, not a replacement for sleep.
Got it. So honor the rest. Which actually leads to a deeper point the source makes, doesn't it? About the nature of rest itself. Something from Hippocrates.
Exactly. Vix Natura Medicatrix, the healing power of nature. The source offers a really profound interpretation of this.
How so?
It reframes the immune system. We usually think of it as just defense, right?
Hmm.
Fighting off invaders.
Yeah, the body's army.
But this view suggests the immune system does something more fundamental. It's actually what makes us go to sleep and rest. It enforces recovery. And in that recovery, the source claims the immune system does the more creative work in the whole universe.
Whoa. Creative work. How?
By connecting us more directly to the source of existence. So resting isn't just passive repair. It's an active, creative process where our biology connects to something fundamental.
That completely changes how you'd think about taking a break or getting enough sleep. It's not lost time. It's investment.
A massive investment in your deeper self, according to this philosophy. Okay, so how does this creative immune function link up with other systems? The source talks about macro and micro connections.
Right. Immune system is micro.
Yes. It's described as being in contact with the microscopic aspects of our experience, the internal cellular world. While the nervous system connects us to the macro, the external world, our senses, movement.
And there's a bridge.
The neuroimmune system. The source calls it the simpler link nature has ever evolved. It's that constant two-way street between our thoughts, feelings, nervous system, and our physical defenses, recovery, immune system.
Okay, that makes sense. And within the nervous system, hearing gets special attention, called the more primary sense.
Yeah, that was interesting. The reasoning is that hearing is uniquely positioned to bridge the micro and macro. It picks up better microphysical resonance, the actual tiny vibrations of sound and the macro music, the overall soundscape.
Huh. A dual channel sense.
And it zooms in on the inner ear, the vestibular system, our balance center. Using what's called a fractal holist perspective, the source claims the inner ear nano contains the whole innerness.
Nano contains our innerness.
It sounds dense, but I think it means it holds a miniature representation of our internal state, especially connecting strongly to the immune system. Like balance and internal well-being are deeply intertwined right there in the ear.
So the rhythm you hear directly impacts your immune function via the ear and balance system.
That seems to be the proposed pathway. And it ties into another analogy the source uses to link systems. As endocrine is to nervous, is emotion to rationality.
Okay, break that down.
So the nervous system has the five main external senses, relating more to rationality perception. The endocrine system has the seven major glands, which the source equates to the seven chakras, relating more to our internal state, our emotions.
Seven glands, five senses. And this brings us back to the dance numbers, 7 and 13.
Right. The seven internal endocrine gland chakras are the targets. The 13 are the tools.
And the 13 are specific joints.
Yeah, the 13 most flexible primary joints we use for big movements. Think ankles, knees, hips, that's 6. Wrists, elbows, shoulders, another 6. Plus the neck makes 13.
Okay, I can picture those. So Chakra-kun involves consciously moving those 13 joints.
And using that movement to channel energy inwards towards those seven internal gland chakra centers. You're trying to get the external movement, 13 joints, and the internal energy centers, 7 glands, to, as the source says, dance with each other.
Creating a feedback loop between the physical and the energetic.
Precisely. The physical becomes the driver for the internal balancing act.
Okay, the mechanics are clearer now. Which brings us to the final section, which sounds the most abstract. In evolutionary linguistics.
Definitely the most conceptual part, yeah. It draws a direct line between dance, the rhythm of language, and our ancestry.
How does it connect those?
Through an analogy. The dance is to the movement what the prosody is to the text.
Prosody, like rhythm, intonation, and speech.
Exactly, but maybe broader. The Sork defines it as rhythm, tone, silences, emphasis, all the non-literal stuff that gives language its feeling and depth, the hidden communication layer.
Okay, so dance is like the prosody of the body's movement.
You got it, and then it makes this claim. We are more animal microbe when dancing than reciting a poem.
More primal when dancing. Why is that connection important here?
Because that primal state, the source argues, connects us to ancestral channels. Deeper, older ways of knowing and communicating.
Older than words.
Older than modern alphabetized language? Yes. It suggests poetry, because it has more prosody, taps into more ancient channels than, say, just reading a factual news report. Dance, being pure rhythm and movement pure prosody, is seen as the ultimate way to access these channels.
So dancing is like speaking a pre-verbal ancestral language?
That's a good way to put it. The source says prosody and dance hide, and nanoperfect, these ancestral communication channels. Engaging them allows the organism to sail deeper inside. Dreams are mentioned as another example of accessing this kind of information.
Okay, conceptually interesting, but how does tapping into ancestral channels actually cheer up your immune system? That feels like a leap.
I think the bridge is psychoneuroimmunology, essentially. Accessing this deep, nonverbal, ancestral sense of connection and rhythm potentially reduces the stress and alienation of modern, highly verbal, rational thought. It creates a state of deep ease or flow.
Ah, so it's about deep psychological calm impacting physiology.
That seems to be the link. Achieving that state of profound connection through poetic dancing is what calms the system, allowing the immune system to do its creative work we discussed. Chakra-kun is presented as the conscious technique to achieve that state of connection and balance.
Wow. Okay, we've gone from a simple dance idea to managing energy, micro-rests, immune system creativity, and now deep ancestral communication through rhythm. It's a lot.
It really is a comprehensive framework, starting with managing energy on a dance floor and ending up with this massive holistic view.
So the big takeaway seems to be that how we manage our internal energy, especially during intense activity, and how we approach rest, even tiny moments of it, can fundamentally change our experience and well-being.
Exactly. The sources are really pushing the idea that conscious internal focus and dedicated recovery aren't just add-ons, they're central. Recovery isn't passive waiting. It's framed as this incredibly active, creative, biological process.
Which brings us to that final thought for you, the listener. Thinking about Chakra-kun, the source suggests that accessing well-being involves tapping into these deeper channels through rhythm, tone, and silences the prosody of movement.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond dancing, think about your own intense activities. Could be playing music, coding, intense exercise, even a really demanding conversation. How could you consciously focus on the underlying rhythms, the pauses, the nonverbal flow, the prosody of that activity?
Could finding that rhythm, maybe even incorporating your own version of a micro-rest within it, change how you experience it, how you recover? Could it, as the source suggests, cheer up your immune system?
Something to definitely mull over.